Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation as we consider our discussion about seven false teachers in the church today. This is part two and the conclusion of this short series. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that by your Holy Spirit we are led into all truth. Lord, we need to understand your word well, and so we ask that you would help us so that we can live for you in ways that help others to turn their eyes towards Jesus, who is their salvation. For we ask it in his name. Amen. For this devotion, I have drawn, with permission, quite heavily from an article by Tim Challies, a pastor at Grace Fellowship Church in Toronto, Ontario. To begin this discussion, we use the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 20, where he said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them." As we begin, we need to be reminded that for as long as the earth has existed, Satan has attempted to destroy what God has done. This includes the church. While the church has faced many difficulties from without, the most dangerous challenges have always been from within. The devil is quite adept at producing false teachings which are peddled by those who seek to promote only themselves and not the gospel. We have looked at three of the seven presented by Tim Challies. These are the heretic, the charlatan, and the prophet. And so we continue to look at the balance, the last four. The fourth false teacher is the abuser. The abuser uses his position of leadership to take advantage of other people. I say his because this kind of thing is predominantly, but not exclusively, a male malpractice. Usually they take advantage of the people to feed their own sexual lust, which is often coupled with a desire for power. Both Peter and Jude were aware of the abuser's debased behavior. In 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 we read, "And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed." Jude verse 4 says the following, "For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." The abuser claims he is tending souls, but his true interest is ravishing bodies. He works his way into women's lives, their confidence, their homes, and finally their beds. When he is not pursuing illicit sexual pleasure, he may well be trying to exercise power over others. Sadly, the history of the Christian faith features countless abusers. Even in the church's earliest days, there were sex cults and other depraved perversions of the faith. For centuries, the papacy was little more than a corrupt power struggle. Today, it seems that every week, we learn of another church leader who has been found guilty of sexual sin with men, women, or even children. Meanwhile, they leave a trail of destruction in their wake as they have pursued forbidden pleasure and power. The abuser seems to carry on his work quite happily. The fifth false teacher is the divider. The divider uses false doctrine to disrupt or destroy a church. They happily divide the family of God with their errors. Jude, in verses 18 to 21, warned about such people, saying, "In the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is those who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." You see, the divider is morally bankrupt and, as Jude says, devoid of the Holy Spirit, whose first fruit is love, and whose special work is holding believers together in the bond of peace, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. This kind of false teacher brings strife, not love. They generate factions, not unity, and they desire discord, not harmony. Throughout the ages, congregations and denominations have been fractured by those who divide and spread lies. They sometimes turn a minor doctrine into a major mark of Christian maturity, causing factions to arise within the body. They may also very cleverly produce and disseminate unbiblical doctrines or even undermine the ordained leadership. This is all done for the perverse satisfaction that comes from seeing things fall apart within the church. The sixth false teacher is the tickler. This is one who completely disregards the things God has in mind for his people and instead will promote those things which people want. Such an individual is a man-pleaser rather than a pleaser of God. Paul thought of him as the ear tickler, and in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3-4, he says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Thus, the tickler craves popularity and praise from the world, and to maintain their followers' respect, they preach only the parts of the Bible they deem acceptable. Perhaps you remember a time when certain churches favored preaching to address the felt needs of the congregation. If this is the only diet of a congregation, and good expository preaching is missing, the possibility of becoming a tickler is almost certain. Ticklers address only what people want to hear, preaching only a partial gospel, which is no gospel at all. Like the false prophets of Jeremiah's day, they and the thousands like them say, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. That's Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14. And so finally we come to the speculator. This false teacher is obsessed with novelty, originality, or speculation. The author of Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 9, warned his church of these strange teachings, while Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, to protect the church against any different doctrine. Teaching that is focused on speculation displaces the sure and steady doctrine of Scripture. All too often, in order to obsess about matters that are trivial or novel, the speculator tosses aside sound doctrine, growing weary of the old truths, preferring rather to pursue respectability through originality. Today, as in every age, the speculator obsesses about the end times, and somehow his failed predictions dissuade neither himself nor his followers. Recently, we saw one of them obscuring the clear message of Scripture to search for hidden meanings in blood moons. Sometimes these people plant themselves in academia, where one of their recent masterpieces is a reimagined God who is unable to see and know the future or even perform miracles. No wonder Paul labeled the speculator a contradictory, irreverent babbler in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20-21. This brings us to the end of our short series on the seven false teachers in the church today. Perhaps they were familiar to you. This is not only good to know, but good to share with those who in ignorance have allowed themselves to be exposed to these very devious works of the devil. They are devious because every one of the false teachers we have considered have laced their ideas with a smattering of truth to make it hard to resist and difficult to discern. So may God help us to be careful and enlighten us so that we may educate other brothers and sisters regarding Satan's ploys. And so let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that despite the wiles of the evil one, Christ in us is far stronger than anything the enemy can muster. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And for this we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, Amen. And God bless you.